Welcome into another edition of the Varsity Podcast. Justin Barney, Sponge Franklin, and we are in, I can't believe I'm saying it, the final week of the regular season. Sponge, man, we say it every time, this season flies by.
Yeah, hard to believe it's November 1st tomorrow.
It is.
And you're basically 2 months of the rest of the year. Playoffs are here. You know, where does 10 weeks go, man?
Yeah, I know, man. Playoff brackets come out Sunday morning. Playoffs start a week from this Friday, and got a good bit of stuff to cover from last week and then kind of looking ahead. We had two big nights of football last week and a lot of district implications on the line, a lot of district titles on the line. Last week, I think we decided 9, and we got a big one left this week ahead. The only district, I think, in the state that has not been resolved in Neeson, Ponte Vedra District 4-4S. We'll get to that one in a little bit. But two big nights of football last week, Sponge, and I think the kind of the carrying tone for me was redemption for a lot of these teams. Bowles, Bishop Kenny. Bowles lost that district last year. Raines, yep. Jackson. Raines lost that district last year to Jackson. First Coast Fletcher. First Coast lost to Fletcher last year. So a lot of redemption for these teams.
Yeah, definitely. You think Bowles put a number on these boys? They took that loss last year not too kindly and put a number on BK this year. And then, like you say, the flip on the other games too. You know, Raines handled business big time. Jackson, we've talked about their struggles this year, and they've been, you know, mightily down since their transition over from, you know, Coach Foy leaving. And then, you know, yeah, big win for First Coast over Fletcher, you know. So definitely I'm not surprised by it, though. We kind of pegged it, because these were the teams that were kind of trending, that have been playing well all year. And for the most part, I think the surprise game was obviously two evenly matched teams in that First Coast Fletcher game.
Right, yeah, and that was a 28-27 overtime game. Buccaneers and Coach Marty Lee going back to the postseason, although this time as a district champ. And again, that was a game you needed to win. You could not get into the playoffs any other way if you're First Coast. So that was a huge win for the Bucs. They were winning big in that game and then kind of had to hang on at the finish. Fletcher with a valiant comeback, kind of like it did against Ed White. But First Coast and Marty Lee getting it done, going dancing once again. So good one for their Raines. Looked phenomenal against Jackson. Took Jackson the whole half to get a first down. And just not the same team as we saw a year ago when they beat Raines. So Raines, number one seed in Region 1-2M. They look good. And Bowles, you knew that Bowles was going to happen. I mean, Bowles slept walk against Kenny last year and totally. Got caught slipping.
Yeah, yeah. DJ lit him up, man. He had a big day passing. They. I mean, it took it from, you know, the minute the game started, they were ready to rock and roll, you know, scoring 52 on them. So, like I say, last year, I think definitely was one of those look-ahead games, maybe for the playoffs, and just, you know, you just took them lightly. Yep. And Bishop Kenny's, you know, we talked about them. They've been weird. Offensively, they've had major struggles. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a big-time quarterback, and, you know, you just haven't really lit it up offensively. So, I don't know where to put my finger on what the issue is, but, you know, for the most part, they've been kind of hot and cold all year. You know, they won a game where you're like, okay, that's a nice win. And then, you know, they had the tough one against Bishop Moore on the road early in the year. And then they kind of just, you know, the tough loss to Middleburg really hurt them. And then, you know, then you got to play a good Bowles team. And next thing you know, you're looking at a 5-4 record when, you know, you thought you were a little bit better than that.
Right, yeah, very disappointing follow-up for them after winning a district title last year. For whatever reason, they've just not been able to kind of flip things and get it consistently this year, and that was a disappointing loss. Really disappointing last month of the season for BK. You go from a solid number two seed in Region 1-2M, and you're going to be dropping to fifth this week. So you go from potentially hosting a playoff game in round one to – you're going to be a 5 seed and probably play maybe even a Bowles again in the first round of the playoffs and get waxed in the first round. You got UC this week to wrap things up. UC's another team, a little bit of struggle there. They lost big time last week, 43-6 to Clearwater Academy International. You knew that was going to happen. So disappointing finishes for BK and University Christian here in this regular season, but redemption for Raines and Bowles last Thursday night in First Coast as well. So big ones for them. A couple Friday games before we get to our massive game of the week last week, Neeson, Ponte Vedra. You know, you're looking at a team like a Providence playing a Trinity Christian, Sponge, and they've had a remarkable year. 7-game winning streak, 7-1 going to that district title game against Trinity Christian. And Trinity brought them back down to earth in a big way.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of like one of those things where, you know, the level of competition you're playing, you're kind of just, it might be like a facade for you where, you know, you've been beating teams and winning games, mm-hmm. how you've been winning. And then Trinity still is, you know, they're still the big bully on the block. And you can just tell personnel-wise and player-wise that Trinity just had the dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed the minute. I mean, Mason Williams, for all intents and purposes, had a great year. Obviously, it hurt that he went out. But even if he would have stayed in that game, they had, you know, zero passing threat.
Right.
You know, Darnell toting the rock. You know, Bushy was hitting some plays downfield. Just even getting the ball out quick to the receivers and just, you know, letting those guys work. I mean, from it just showed that the level
right.
of competition, and that's just what happens sometimes. Providence is definitely doing some big things. They're in like a rechange, retool, rebuild. Like, you know, they've got a lot of young guys. So, like we said, that's a team to look out for next season. But, yeah, basically it's one of those games where you're like, man, okay, yeah, we're not at this level yet. And that's the same thing when, like, you know, you have to play those other big dog teams in that classification, like the Clearwater Central Catholics, you know, the mm-hmm. The Benjamins, the Chaminades, you know. So, like, it's just like a step up in, you know, class, basically, when you start playing against the big boys of your –
Yeah,
you
know, and that, you know, a lot of times,
region, all that stuff.
Yeah, a lot of times we will get asked questions. I know Sponge does. I know I do. We get hit up on Instagram all the time. Why isn't so and so ranked? Why isn't this team ranked? I've gotten this about Fletcher. I've gotten this about Providence this year. And again, all records are not created equal. When you look at bowls when they were 3-4, 3-3, you can't look at a bowls and tell me that a Providence should be ranked above them. Or you can't look at a Trinity Christian at 5-3 or 4-3 and say a Fletcher should be ranked above them. All games and competition records can be very misleading a lot of times. I think fans will get wrapped up in that sometime. Mm-hmm. And you cannot tell me, you know, even at Trinity's low point in the year and Bowl's low point of the year,
right.
that a Bowl's would not absolutely annihilate a team like a Providence.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Trinity wouldn't beat a team like Fletcher. And, you know, you've done that. So I think our rankings are pretty good, and I think when you look at a Max Preps type of strength of schedule and stuff like that, when you see a Fletcher that is 6-2, is ranked like 125th in the state, and then you see a team like Bowles who's 3-4, and they're ranked in the top 50. Okay?
Yeah, well, that's like I was looking at it today actually because I was, you know, checking my rankings, and you know, I call them the power index, you know, my power rankings.
Right.
So I think Trinity is actually like 2. Really, if you really quantify mm-hmm. it, St. Augustine is 1. They're like 17th in the state. I think the next best team, according to Max Preps, however they formulate it, is Trinity at like 50-something.
Mm-hmm.
And then like I want to say it's like Trinity, Bowles, Ponte Vedra. They're all like in that same like 3 or 4 spots all together. You know, and I've got Trinity like 9 in ours
mm-hmm.
just because it's like okay, you know, I'm respecting what I feel like our area
right.
maybe so but. But, yeah, you look at how they grade that and how they, you know, formulate it, whatever, and then you do your eye test, and then you say, who has this team played? Who have they beaten? And, yeah, 6-2, you know, record looks good versus, you know, when Bowles was like 1-3,
mm-hmm.
you know, after they beat Trinity, you're like, how do you have a 1-3 team ranked in the top 10? You know, it's just because they're good. They
right.
just lost to – they lost to 3 powerhouse teams, you know, 3 of the best teams in our area at the time. And they would probably beat, or we think we would predict them to beat,
right.
you know, a team like a 6-2 Fletcher or, you know, Providence.
Yeah, so it's not all records, not all teams. When you're looking at records and stuff, you cannot just totally base things on a record. Again, a Bowles team that's 0-3 would absolutely work over a team like a Fletcher or a Providence type of team. And, you know, I think the coaches, in a sense, know that as well. But when you're talking fans and, you know, how do you have this team not ranked high? This team's won 7 in a row. Well, you're winning 7 in a row. I mean, Interlochen was 10-0 last
mm-hmm,
year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would you have put Interlochen right. up against Swanee yeah. last yeah. year and said they're going to beat Swanee? No
yeah,
way.
No.
There, absolutely no way.
Yeah.
So records and rankings and stuff are a little bit, you cannot trust just what you see on paper. And I think a lot of people make that misconception when they're looking at teams and how we kind of rank things. Some others last week, Bradford did what we thought they were going to do, absolutely mauled Palatka 42-0. Bradford, to me, is state championship-type material. Bartram Trail, I was at this Oak Leaf game, and they struggled big time for about 3.5 quarters against Oak Leaf.
When I saw that score, I was like, what is going on? You know, I mean, we talked about Oak Leaf having their ups and downs too, and, you know, but Bartram's been one of our, you know, teams that – we talked about that killer schedule they mm-hmm. had and why, you know, why they had lost four games, but we'd still put them up against anybody. You know, so I don't know if it was just one of those games where Oakley just had the right formula going and they just had everything clicking, and then Bartram, you know, it was a straight shootout, so it wasn't like Oakley was stopping them either. But, you know, where was the defense at, you know, to let Oakley score 42 on you? And it was the three games that I was like, obviously, when I looked at the number and the scores at, you know, close to the end of the night, I'm like, wow. I'm like, I was like, Nice is banging with Ponte Vedra.
Right.
Like, I thought they could. And then Bartram's in a dogfight. And then even a team that we had, you know, been down on, Fleming Island, was banging with Buchholz for a while. I'm like, what is happening here?
Yeah, three quarters. Fleming is there.
I was just like, you know, and then I started really look at flipping gears. I started looking at Fleming. And I'm like, you know, it's not like we've said that they're bad. It's just they've been very unlucky having to play the caliber of teams they're playing. And they're in like a coaching transition year, a new, you know, new system, new scheme, all that stuff. They've played pretty well, you know, but they just haven't been able to win a game. So I give them valiant kudo effort, you know, silver lining, like, hey,
mm-hmm.
you played with one of the best teams in the state, you know, not even the city because of Gainesville. But I mean, so I was thoroughly impressed with all those games that were very wildly interesting, you
yeah,
know, to say the
I
least.
Mean, Buchholz couldn't get it done. Three quarters, Fleming was in control, and they really turned it around at the end and go on to win that game. Pretty big, 35-21.
But they flexed basically late in the game.
Yeah, that score very misleading in that game. Some others last week, Bradford just on another level. I was at that Bartram game, 45-42. They went on a Liam Padron field goal at the finish. But the story of that game to me was turnover. Oakleaf had three takeaways of Riley Trillo in the first half. And two of those, they turned into points. One was the very end of the half. You cannot do that. I mean, you turned the ball over on back-to-back plays. Riley fumbled on a run. Oakleaf ended up turning that into a touchdown. He threw an interception on his next go-around. Or maybe that was inverse. So threw an interception, and then he lost a fumble on the next drive. So two of those, you give Oakleaf easy 14 points. And it was 21-14 at half. And Bartram just did not look good. And I think we talked about this last week. Did they bite off more they could chew with that big schedule?
Yeah, no, for sure. And then, you know, still, you got to give them kudos to say, hey, we're not playing our best game. We're turning the ball over. You know, still be able to score 45 points, turning the ball over like that. Still good on your offense. You know, defensively, obviously, you know, you give up two short fields. You know, you're putting your defense in a bind anyways. But, you know, their schedule has been ridiculously tough.
Yes.
So, like we said, we talked about it last week. You know, did they schedule almost too much to where – they've almost been broken in a sense, and now you're basically where you really need to be going up into this part of the season. You know, you're kind of like even or going down.
Right.
You know, so, like I say, I know they're going to have possibly a tough, you know, first round matchup too. We were talking about. So, like I say, they definitely need to. And heck, who do they get this week?
Right.
They get Mandarin. So I think Mandarin, in a sense, is going to want to put a statement game together going into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I say, the schedule doesn't lighten up at all.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. So, Bartram, I think how they land now in the playoff rankings, I don't think they can go lower than a 5 seed. I do think they'll be either the 4 or the 5 seed, but I do think they will have to travel in that first round, not being a district champ. They're going to have to go out to the panhandle type game. We won't learn those rankings fully until Sunday morning, but Bartram is in a spot where you're going to probably have to play on the road in the first round. That's a long, long road trip. I think the best games last week were in District 4-4S, and we'll start off with our game of the week, Nice 24, Ponte Vedra 23.
Yeah.
Did not see this one coming. I thought Ponte Vedra was going to beat Nice in a close game. This rivalry going into last week, Ponte Vedra is 12-2 against Nice. And Nice, man, your season is over if you do not beat Ponte Vedra.
Yeah.
And Nice nearly won the district title outright last week with that win. Tocoi Creek ended up beating Flag of Palm Coast 29-28. So that presents a a win in their end game for Nice this week. If Nice does not win, Ponte Vedra will win that district championship by way of tiebreaker and rankings points. But, man, how about that? That Nice game was electric last week.
What's crazy was that crowd was, like, phenomenal.
Yes.
Like, we played at Ponte Vedra one time several years ago, and, you know, it's a good little area, good little venue, and, you know, it's kind of like a confined space or all that good stuff. But it was like standing room only. I'm talking about jam-packed in there. you could just hear the electricity of the crowd when somebody made a play. I mean, it was just eruption, and which was awesome. Yeah, back and forth game. I thought Ponte Vedra would win the game, but I just had a sneaky feeling that Nice has been playing well, you know, offensively. You know, they got blown out against St. Augustine, but they kind of scored.
Yeah, they scored.
You know, and then they've had a couple other games where, you know, they've played, you know, tough, played up, and, you know, didn't win. And, you know, so they were kind of hanging out right there. But I felt offensively they've been doing some things, and they obviously put it all together and played a heck of a game. I mean, don't get me wrong, when you have some snap blunders and on field goals and extra points and all that, you know, maybe you'd had an overtime game, and then who knows what could happen. But they took care of business. Colin Drafts and those boys, they were hyped up, man.
Yeah, Colin has been able to put together really good, like a Sean McIntyre, been always able when he's had some guys. You go back 2 years ago with Marcus Stokes Jr. year, Henry, those guys ran to the regional final. I was out there on Thursday morning or Thanksgiving Day practice at Nice out there, and they love doing that. That playoff game, while I saw a lot of old Nice alumni and guys that I covered back when they were in high school, so good to see that. And this Nice team reminds me a little bit of that squad back in 2021, I believe, where you had just playmakers and just this mission of guys who just banded together, refused to lose kind of thing. Bryce Frick at quarterback has done phenomenal. Maddox Spencer has been obscene, the numbers he's putting up at that receiver. I mean, they've just been able to kind of get it done. And, you know, I think we almost undersell how intense that Ponte Vedra-Nice rivalry is. And I've been to those games in the past. It used to be first or second game of the year. And now it comes at the late end of the season,
I like that district game. I like that.
And it was, man, it was our game of the week last week, week 10, and just an absolute blockbuster. Ponte Vedra had a shot to win at the end with a field goal, and it went way, way wide.
Yeah, he shanked it.
And, man, it, having been out there before the game, I mean, 2 hours before the game started, they're doing senior night festivities in the crowd and on the field, and it was already packed at that point. And then, man, if you've never been to a Nice Ponte Vedra game, it'll be at Nice next year. I mean, the cars are parked all up and down US 1.
Yeah.
It is just a great rivalry, and especially when you add the layer of playoff stakes into that. So if Nice wins on Friday night against Tocoi Creek, they win the District 4-4S championship. And they were like First Coast. They were buried so far back in those regional rankings. The only way you're going to get the playoffs is either buy a ticket to the game and watch it from the stands, or upset Ponte Vedra on the road, which they did last week. But Hatflager Palm Coast beat Tocoi Creek. Nice would have won playoff or district championship last week. Now they're in a situation where last year, week 11, against Tocoi Creek, Tocoi Creek needed a win to get in the playoffs. Nice absolutely waxed them. This year, Tocoi Creek has a chance to return the favor.
Roles have reversed.
If Tocoi beats Nice, Nice is out of the playoffs. But how I see this going, Nice has just been playing phenomenal with Bryce Frick at quarterback.
Yeah, no, like you said, Bryce Frick's been throwing it around. Maddox Spencer has been electric at receiver. You know, they've been getting it done, you know, offensively. So I feel like I love what Tocoi Creek's got going on, but it's not like they've struggled, but they've I don't know if the caliber of competition again is my big question with them. Ryan Kilmer, I like him as a legit quarterback. My boy Julio Santiago has been killing it at receiver over there, so they've got some stuff offensively, but I just feel like, you know, I don't think you're gonna have the letdown. I think you got now. Hey, we did this. Now we got to go do it again. I mean, there might be that little bit of a letdown early, but I think they're on a mission. You know, you got that mission sense now that, hey, we pulled this upset, this so-called we can't win at Ponte Vedra off. They got that monkey off your back, and now you're in the playoffs if you take care of business.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to have business mentality, and I think they take care of business.
Man, what a game for Colin Drafts and the Panthers. I texted him after the game. Congratulations. You could tell he was just still running on adrenaline and so excited, and really good to see guys like that, and you had this kind of this will to win. He's done well at Nice during the last couple years over there, and whether you got a Marcus Stokes or either Bryce Frick, I mean, Colin Drafts knowing how to coach that offensive stuff. Not a lot of great games in week 11. We do have another one. Bartram Mandarin is obviously a nice game for playoff seeding for both of those guys. It looks like Bartram and Mandarin are locked into their playoff spots in their regions. Middleburg with a big loss to OP last week, and that hurt them after coming off a big win to Bishop Kenny.
Yeah, that was disappointing. After you have that win to Bishop Kenny, you know, you get the late field goal kick to win, and then, you know, you kind of just lay an egg. the next week against a team who's that hasn't been good all year.
Right.
So that was definitely a tough loss for the Broncos.
Yeah, and you know, some others this week, really more just bragging rights games than anything else. Sandalwood last week, you lose. You knew it was going to happen against Manor. But Parker last week goes to Inglewood and wins 24-14. I thought we'd get Parker Sandalwood both 0-9 in week 11, and this game has fallen down the rungs significantly. I went to Parker. I've been to these Parker Sandalwood games back in the day, and those games were so intense and amazing, and always just bragging rights, you know, Arlington bragging rights. But now Parker's got a chance to end the season with two wins. They beat Inglewood on the road last week, cooled off Inglewood. I mean, Inglewood was heading towards first 7-win season in decades, and Parker goes over and beats him. Parker's been able to do a little more consistent things on offense, and I think that's why they probably beat Sandalwood this week.
For sure.
But what a disappointing rivalry game.
Yeah, no, definitely one of those where, you know, we've hashed it out where it's like, what's happened to these two programs? And it's like, it's disappointing to, you know, that these two guys are where they are right now. But, you know, kudos for Parker finally getting off the schneid and getting a win last week. And obviously that was a, you know, we had said, Inglewood had been trending, and that's a tough loss for you guys. But, you know, Parker, you know, gets the win. And like I say, if I was to look at how each of the teams have played all year, I would probably say Parker, even with one win, has played probably a little more consistent.
Yeah, offensively, yes.
So Sandalwood's just been struggling, man. So it's going to be crazy to see an 0-10
Sandalwood team. I know the offense, they just don't have the offense. They don't have the players. I mean, I've been to a couple of their games this year, and even last year and the year before, and I told Adam Geis, I'm like, man, where are the guys on the team? And he just says, we don't have the numbers as we used to have. You look, think of the Sandalwood team, I'm thinking DeMarcus Walker and Parker Boehm, those guys, or those teams were just had tons of dudes and just tons of bodies. And this Sandalwood team, you know, they do have a couple playmakers, but, man, they are just lacking in overall student numbers on the football team. Just pretty remarkable to see that Sandalwood team with just so few numbers on the sidelines. A couple other ones this week, UC Bishop Kenny, that's a game – for not necessarily playoff position. I think both those teams are clearly in the playoffs, but just to kind of stop the bleeding for both of those teams.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier today, is, you know, both of them not trending in the right direction. Both of them have been struggling all season, offensively, both of them. You know, so, yeah, it's like one of those games just to, you know, let's get something out of our system. Let's put something good on tape. Let's get something to feel good going into the playoffs so you can maybe, you know, get a win or two in the playoffs. But yeah, both teams right now are just kind of struggling as we get to the finish line here.
Yeah, just very very disappointing. Palatka, St. Augustine, I think St. Augustine wins that game handily, unbeaten regular season for them. One of, if not the longest rivalry in the state, been played since like the 20s in that game. I think Palatka is going to finish the season the exact same way it finished it last year, and that's on a 3-game losing streak. Lost to Bradford. They're going to lose St. Augustine and potentially first round of the playoff games. But again, Patrick Turner has been doing good things down there in Putnam County. So just the finish has not been ideal for them. So not a lot of great games this week. But our game of the week, First Coast, Jackson, potentially Marty Lee's last regular season game as head coach for the Bucks. And Jackson just wrapping up a little bit of a disappointing season. I think one of the best games this week, though, is Providence Beachside.
Yeah.
I think that's an excellent game.
No, that. We're looking at it, you know, Providence. We're talking about, like, record-wise, like, Beachside is they're 8-1 on the year, right? But, you know, that's a team that, like, if Beachside people were hitting us up, like, we should be in the top 10.
Yeah.
You know.
For one, you're an independent.
For that, and your caliber of competition you played has been terrible.
Yes.
You know, but, you've won 8 games, you've banged it out. Like, these two teams are, in my opinion, comparable. Now, the big question is, did Mason Smith tear his ACL?
Or
did
he's hurt. I don't think he's back this week.
Yeah, so, like, that's a big loss. Or Mason Williams. I said Mason Smith. Mason Williams, you know, he's the engine that runs that Providence offense with his legs and, you know, through the air. Now, the backup quarterback came in and, you know, played all right. But I feel like I couldn't tell you who's going to win this one, really, because I haven't really watched Beachside enough to know. But these two teams are on level playing field, and it should be a heck of a ball game, actually.
Yeah, I think, for one, your Beachside, how are you independent year two – of your program? I don't understand that. You got to me, if you're Beachside, you want to be taken seriously, get into district and play somebody. I don't understand.
What's the rule? Why didn't they do that? Aren't them in, like, Tocoy, like the new schools, basically?
Right. And so Tocoy is just ahead of Beachside a year, but, you know, usually the transition, if you're a public school at least, you're independent first year and you go into district second year.
Right.
But for some reason, the I believe the coaching brain trust over there wanted to take a little bit more time with that. So
what district would they end up probably getting into?
They would probably be, I don't know if they would go up to 4S, but maybe even a 3S. At this point, I don't know if their enrollment size is exactly the same as Tocoi Creek, but going in there with Tocoi would be naturally. You know, Tocoi went up from 2S to 4S in one off season. They're in there now with Ponte Vedra and stuff, and before they were in there with the Bradfords of the world. So I don't know if a Beachside would fall into that 2S or maybe even a 3S or even jump up all the way to 4S. But they've got to get in a district if you want to be taken seriously. You can't be a public school team in St. John's County and playing independent ball with some of these other teams. So you want to be taken seriously. You got to get into that district. So, but, man, week 11 of the regular season, playoff brackets will be out on Sunday. Another great win this week, Suwanee Bradford. This is the only regular season game Bradford lost last year, so they're going to be looking to get back on that saddle. Super 10, we will wrap up with our rankings this week, and I did not have much at all change for me.
Yeah, I really didn't change much either.
My 10 team is Creekside. I think they're going to be snake-bitten in terms of the playoffs, even if they beat Ponte Vedra this week. Creekside has got to get into that number six slot in Region 1-4S. That does not look like it's going to happen. Pace is there. Pace is going to finish on a winning streak. I think they're going to finish 8-2 or 7-3. So Creekside, by virtue of Mosley's upset win in district play out in the Panhandle, and what's looking like Nice's district title here is going to push Creekside, which started the week last week in 8th, going to push them all the way out of the playoffs. That's disappointing.
That's tough.
I mean, that's tough luck.
That's where you got to take care of business in some of them earlier games.
Right.
You know, and that's what hurts is like, you know, you had obviously a big upset win against Mandarin. You know, we look at that one and we're like, man, they beat Mandarin, you know, but then they, you know, lose one of the ones they shouldn't have. So tough L for them right now if they can not get in there.
Yeah, I know, but it's looking like mathematically it's just not going to work for them. Creekside at number 10 for me, Trinity Christian at number 9, Bowles is 8, so those three teams pretty much stay put. Riverside 7 for me. They were off last week. Bartram Trails still 6 for me after that sluggish win over Oakleaf. Ponte Vedra I've got dropping from 3 to 5. Rains I've got up to number 4. Mandarin 3, Bradford 2, and St. Aug 1.
Yeah, we're pretty dead on there. I've got St. Augustine obviously 1, Bradford and Mandarin. I've got Ponte Vedra at 4, Bartram 5, Rains 6, Riverside, Bowles Trinity, and Creekside. So
okay, yeah, we're right.
It's that little jumbled right there between 4, 5, and 6 where Ponte Vedra, Bartram, you know, Rains and Riverside are, you know.
Yeah, so I think really the only two teams we've not really had in there from all season may have been Riverside and
– Yeah, Riverside didn't start in there.
Yeah, and then Ponte Vedra may have not started in there but slipped in there pretty good. But all those other teams have been pretty consistent for us this season.
There hasn't been anybody to really step up besides those two teams. And, you know, that's where, like, okay – a Nice or a Fletcher or, you know, Ed White or whoever could take that jump and, you know, not lose a game that they shouldn't and be consistently like, you know, look at Riverside. They're 7-2, going to beat Reebok this week and be 8-2 on the year. Their two losses are to – they lost by 1 point to Rains, who's in the top 5, and then they got beat by Mandarin, you know, pretty badly. But that was like early in the year, and they've kind of righted the ship, and now they're playing good ball.
All right, before we get into playoff talk, before playoff brackets are announced, any teams – win a state championship this year?
Oof. We talked about this week 3 or 4, maybe the midway point.
I think back then we said maybe yes.
Yeah, I think we did say – I think we said yes because we thought maybe like two teams. I'm going to say no.
I don't think we have a winner. I think we've got – I think maybe two teams will play.
We've got two contenders, and I think our two contenders will be the same. And I would think you would say St. Aug. And Bradford?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's who I'd say. I'd say that my two are the same as yours.
Yeah.
The suburban path is challenging, it's not a metro type path. I think Mandarin is going to be in trouble in metro, just with the region they're in. It's just brutal.
Yeah, those Orlando teams are pretty damn good.
Bartram is not what we thought.
No.
I think the schedule has really beat them down. So that was my other team who could have probably made a run. But I think, I mean, consistently wise, St. Augustine and Bradford. And Bradford was Final Four team last year. St. Augustine went out in the first round, but they're just so much better this season. And I think that's where you're going to run into a Mainland or Lake Wales or somebody like that.
Right.
At some point in that Final Four state championship round, and Bradford's going to run into Coco again. I think they have enough this year to get past them. But winning a state championship under this new format, well, I thought was going to be easier for some of our teams, has not turned out that way.
No, definitely not. It's not that it's more difficult, but it's still a grind, and it's still hard to win a state championship. You know, that's everybody's dreams and aspirations when they start the season. We're going to make the playoffs, and we're going to go to state. You know, and it is not easy. You know,
it's not as easy as teams like Trinity have made it look. Right, Bowles have made it look.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And I've lived that, so I know how hard it is. And I look at some of these other teams, and I'm like, you ain't got a chance, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough to swallow that pill to be like, and it just might be the bad luck of like who's in your classification,
right.
who you're gonna have to match up maybe in that second round of the playoffs. That like is like a juggernaut program that like. You know, you'd have to play the game of your life.
Yeah, I think Trinity will make it to the state semis just in that region they're in. I mean, you're going to probably have to get through OCP as a regional finalist. You know, Providence, we've seen what they did to them already. UC is not UC. So I do think Trinity could get there.
No, I think Trinity can make a run, and they've got the capability to. But, again, there's no way in my mind if they had to play Chaminade Madonna in 2 weeks – See you later.
I think you could play them 10 times and you wouldn't beat them once. They're just that good. But
I think
we could have two teams play for titles, maybe a third if Trinity could sneak in there. Just kind of weird how that region alignment will play out once you get to the state semis. You may see a Chaminade early on in the Final Four, but I think St. Aug Bradford probably a pretty good pick to play for. Not sure if they win it though.
Yeah, no. Like I said, I think Coco is really good. And then that division or that class that, you know, that St. Aug is in is kind of weird because that was the one where Columbia went on a run
right.
last year. And then they lost to Lake Wales, where we were like, I don't know nothing about Lake Wales, and Lake Wales turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah, so, Lake Wales smoked them.
So, you know, so it's like I haven't really looked into who's there this year, like a Lake Wales. What did they return from last year? Who else is in that kind of, you know, Central Florida-ish area that's the top team in that area who would maybe come out
Mainland.
Of that? Daytona Beach, Mainland for sure. So, if St. Augustine had to play Mainland, I think I'd pick St. Augustine.
Maybe, yeah, that's a good game.
Like, I think St. Augustine could score with them. You know, Mainland is definitely known for their defense, so that'd be a good matchup between their offense versus that defense. And then who knows? You get into a shootout game, hey,
mm-hmm.
I would love to see that because then we talk about somebody who's ahead of schedule. You know, we're talking about St. Augustine
next year. Yeah.
Hey. It's 10-0 St. Augustine, let's go.
Yeah.
Sorry, bullseye's on your back now, buddies. So.
Exactly. They're good. So. I think they will, if not play for a title this year, I do think they play for, if not win one, by the time those guys, the 25s, are getting ready to get that diploma. So that is it for a Week 10, or actually Week 11 edition of the Varsity Podcast. Sponge and I will be coming back to you next week with a full playoff bracket. I'll be talking about the postseason. Thanks for joining us.